Greetings. You're now listening to the most handsome and intellectually superior specimens on Earth. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Starts now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is where you are. We hope that you're doing well. We're pleased to be able to bring you another episode of I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. My name is Fresh, and we're thankful that you decided to join us today. Before we get into this week's episode, I'd like to remind you that if you like what you hear, please, please, please go to Apple Podcasts and rate our podcast and leave us a comment or two. Now, without further delay, we're going to go ahead and get it rolling, man. I'd like to introduce my partner, who is a connoisseur of all things cultural. He's my partner in podcast crime. Reg, what is the deal?
Hey, Fresh, I hadn't seen you since the last time I saw you, brother. What's happening with you?
Man, we got good news, man. We got good news.
What's that? What's that?
We got a sponsor, player.
All right, drum roll.
Sponsor.
That's what's
drum roll, please. I could be wrong, but I doubt it is now sponsored by Posh Premium Ale, Black-owned brew out of Atlanta, Georgia, brother.
All right.
That's
sounds,
what's up.
Sounds posh.
It is posh. Posh Premium Ale is a peach brew, peach ale, and it's crafted to have the smooth taste that men demand and the drinkability that women prefer. Women are going to love it, man. Women are going to love it. So, shouts out to Posh,
that's
man.
What's up, man?
That's what it is, man. We appreciate the love, man.
It's a big move.
Right. We love you back. So, that's what it is, man. So, what we got going today, man?
I guess we get into current events, man. Catch up on some things.
And, okay.
You know, football is back, and you know, one of the things with football, you know, with the NFL, I know you were like a little back and forth with it.
I was off this shit for 2 years, bro.
2 years, okay, for 2 years, and it's a lot of cats that's on and off or whatever. I really hadn't left it. I'm glad college is back.
Oh yeah,
I'm definitely glad college is back.
Yeah,
and but one of the hottest topic in the NFL. Is that Antonio Brown shit, man. And so I just want to hop into that first. Of course, those who follow NFL know that he's probably the best wide receiver out there. Spent some time with Pittsburgh for a number of years with the Steelers. And in the offseason, he was traded to the Raiders. And man, since he's been traded there, he's been given a fit about his helmet. He has a special or the old helmets. The NFL has a rule where they have license or sanction for new helmets to be used for the whole league, and so that's a rule. But he's like, nah, the new helmets not working for me. I can't see. Like how I can see through the old one. I want to use my old one. So they went back and forth with that shit. And, you know, basically he comes out of that and they want to suspend him. Because I think he leading up to preseason, he'd been missing some practices and, you know, just really doing some foul shit, to be honest. But a little friction there with the owners. And with the team, and then he guess what happens next? This nigga, okay, so he gets a $30 million guaranteed contract for 2 years, right?
Okay.
So that's the big thing is that people are mad that he's messed up $30 million. So he goes from the helmet situation to messing up practice. To them saying, look, you're going to have to get your shit together. We're going to suspend you. He's like, look. So he gets off. He goes off on his employer, general manager. Call him cracker this and MF that or whatever. So they like, look, you're going to have to apologize. So he gives this, I guess, maybe a real apology. I don't know. Gives an apology. Wipes his hand clean. Hey, we straight, right? I apologize. I gave this emotional apology in front of the team. They're like, okay, apology accepted, but we still gonna fine you $215,000 for that shit, for that rant. And we're not really going, we're going to fuck with your guarantee, your $30 million guarantee. Now, it's a lot of folk that are like, you know, I got a cousin, he's a Raiders fan, and he was like, you know, that's just a headache waiting to happen. You know, peace, nigga, be out. But my thing is, look, the brother, it's real simple to me. The brother had a grievance. You know, he had a situation and he tried to squash it. He had a few words to say. He apologized for those words. And now they fucking with his money. So then he bounced. I don't know what else. What else? And not only did he bounce, he went to the Patriots. For 1 year, $15 million, $9 million of that is guaranteed. So people are saying, oh, you messed up $30 million guaranteed. Now you got $9 million guaranteed. So,
I mean, it's the same difference because he's on a 1 year deal in New England. He was on 2 years at Oakland. So the money's pretty much the same.
Money is the same from a, you know, from a salary or what have you. But the guaranteed money is a little different. But now you're playing with the arguably the best quarterback, Brady. You might get a fucking ring, right? That's why they keeping Brady around a little longer. And he's like, what is it, like 70 years old? He's literally like 41 years old and, you know, still playing. So he's playing for a reason. And why not play for the best if you got a shot at it?
Yeah, man, my whole thing with Antonio Brown is this, man. I mean, a couple things. Either he is the most petulant, disruptive bitch ass motherfucker that there is, or he's a motherfucking genius,
or he's the smartest,
right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, so it's he's on one of those ends of the spectrum, because, you know, the way I look at it is he didn't choose Oakland. Pittsburgh chose Oakland.
Okay.
Pittsburgh is the one that got compensated for his arrival.
So you say he probably didn't want to be there in the first.
Because, you know, he's like, man, I go from Big Ben to Derek Carr. Derek Carr is not quite Big Ben. We're gonna go 4-12, 3-13. You know, the Patriots showed interest in him based on what was reported when he was having this little tiff in Pittsburgh. Bill Belichick was like, yo, you know, we'll give you a little something, something. And Pittsburgh was like, nah, we see you too much in the playoffs.
Right, right.
So they were like, nah. So knowing that that was out there, he was probably like, damn, I had a chance to play with the GOAT.
Right, right.
And now I'm out here. Yeah. You know, the weather's beautiful and everything. But, you know, 30 mil ain't 30 mil in Cali, bro.
Yeah. Plus it's moving to Las Vegas. So,
right. I mean, you know,
but still is.
But I mean, you know, that 30 mil, ask Phil Mickelson about that 30 mil, you know, about the amount of taxes that he paid, that 54% tax rate or something that's real stupid like that. So it ain't really 30 mil. So,
yeah.
You know, like I said, either he's a bitch or he's a genius. One of the two. And because my whole thing is like, man, you cannot at your place of work, man. I wish that I could roll up to one
and
of the,
what so, you,
you know what I'm saying? So it's like in any work setting, and I know football is a different animal, you know, professional sports is a different animal. But in any work situation, I mean, you can't do that, man. So, I mean, for them to say, look, we're going to go after your money, whatever. I think they were trying to preemptively stop shenanigans before they started. I don't think they had any intention on really following through with that shit, unless
I don't know, dude.
Unless he kept doing the shit that he was doing. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I believe they wanted to say, look, we'll take your money, man. Just you know, but we'll gladly pay you. Just act like you got some fucking sense. We don't mind paying you. Just act like you got some fucking sense. Keep us from having to get on TV every fucking day and talk about the dumb shit that you do. And we'll pay you. You know, so we'd have no hesitation about writing this check.
Yeah.
Just quit doing dumb shit.
Yeah.
If you don't want to quit doing dumb shit, then we got to take what you care about the most, which is the money. Well, they didn't know that he didn't really give a fuck about the money.
He didn't give a shit. Matter of fact, did you see the video he put out?
Yeah.
Yeah, we about his recorded call with his coach. And be honest,
I didn't see the whole call. I just heard, okay, John Gruden say, you know, what the hell's going on, man? I mean, so.
Okay, yeah, you might want to check that out. But, you know, Keyshawn Johnson, man, he told us about Gruden you know, years ago, he might be on some foul shit himself, man. It's a little gloomy in that organization, I suspect. Between Gruden and maybe how Mayock sort of played. I mean, to your point, yeah, you really don't do that with your employer without some repercussions. With, you know, it's got to be some type of consequence to your actions. But you think about it. If you to what you're saying, I really didn't want to be in the first place. Now you fucking with my money. That's the last straw. That's it. So, but I find it very interesting that the same, I think within 24 hours, he asked for a release. He was released, and then he was picked up by the Pats. That sort of fits into your narrative and what you're saying, that maybe this shit was like a whole, it could have been a setup from the beginning. He just, I would say that's probably the case. I would yield to that he probably masterfully did that.
Yeah, Bill Belichick was hitting him up on the text. Was like, well, can you call him a cracker?
Yeah.
Just call him a cracker.
Yeah.
Let's try that and hit me back.
And yeah. And side note, I guess this is a rhetorical question, but do white people really get offended by the word cracker, by being called cracker? Now, I know they said he said some other pejorative things and, you know, a little profanity in there, but when he went off, but
I'm just, it's the workplace though, dude. I mean, I don't care if it's football or not. It's the workplace. So whatever, I really feel like that, and you know, I'm just about as anti-workplace as you can get, but I feel like, man, that anything that punitive that his workplace did after that particular fact was warranted. It's like, you can't say that it's not warranted. You understand what I'm saying? I mean,
I get the fine, but the threat of the guarantee, it's like somebody guaranteeing your salary for 2 years, yeah, right now.
I mean, but that's in your situation. It's collectively bargained. It's a different situation. That's not apples to apples. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you got to pay me at my job, whether, you know, it doesn't matter. You got to pay me. You know, we've agreed upon this. You can't say, okay, this week you did X, Y, Z, so I'm only going to pay you X. You see what I'm saying? That's not how this shit works. I mean, they can try to do that shit, but I'm flipping over some tables and busting some windows. But what I'm saying with their shit is collectively bargaining, and there's rules because there's contract. You're a contractor.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You are a contractor. So it's a lot different. You have special languages that are written into contracts, you know, about behavior, conduct, detrimental to the team, blah, 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 blah. You know, all those things, even the amount that he gets paid is collectively bargained based on the amount of time that he spent in the league with one team, you know, his veteran status, so on and so forth. There's a lot of shit that applies that doesn't apply to the regular motherfucker at a job. So you can't really compare. You can't compare it. It is, you know.
Yeah.
Totally. However, like I said, it's still a workplace, regardless of those rules and regardless of those things that are bargained by all the lawyers and associations and shit like that. It's still a workplace, man. You just can't roll up and do that shit. So, I mean, I feel the football team, whenever, like, look, this is what we're going to do. Just stop doing dumb shit. Like I said before, just stop doing dumb shit and we'll give you $30 million. Can you please stop doing dumb shit?
But he's worth that. But everything you said, I agree with. What I'm saying is we have to.
Nobody is worth the dumb shit though, bro.
Some people.
He hadn't like, played the game, so you can't say that he's worth it.
No, but we've seen what he's done. So he's there for a reason. They sold, I forget how many extra tickets or whatever because of his arrival. So everyone knows who he is and what he can do. But what sometimes we have to be careful with as black folks too, and maybe this my little angle, is the shut up and catch the ball nigga type of attitude. Like, look, you just hear the catch a ball, okay? Shut the fuck up and catch a ball. We don't want to hear nothing. We don't want to hear nothing about no helmet. We don't want to hear nothing else. You just catch the ball. That's what you do, boy. And so, like, that's what I heard out of one ear. The right side, I hear you. Yeah. That makes sense.
I mean,
the
left side was like, you already know the league is kind of like that. But
exactly. So,
but this is the thing though, man. This is the thing though. And I feel exactly what you're saying. You know, but at the end of the day, there are certain things that come with you making an eight-figure salary. One of those things is, above all, is professionalism. It's like he could have done the same shit, but in a different manner. Yeah, I'm not saying that the end doesn't justify the means when that's the only power you have, because really, when you're under contract, he didn't really have any power except to show his ass. So I get that too. But eight figures, man, you got to be a little bit more professional.
You're totally right.
And it's like, I understand what you're saying about run, nigga, run, catch, nigga, catch, whatever. But that's why you make eight figures. This is what you chose to do. This is what you've been doing since you were a kid. This is how you got to college. This is how you got where you are. So it's not like they're asking you to pick that cotton. You know, they're asking you to do what you spend months and months in the off season doing. That they're just like Bill Parcells used to say, that's why you lift all them weights. This is what you do. You have a very short window to maximize this so you can make life-changing generational wealth. You know what I'm saying? So the argument about the undertones has less of an impact to me, because it's like, you know, I'm gonna put up with a whole lot more shit, just like they're putting up with a whole lot more shit.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? They're putting up with a lot of shit and they're still paying him 30. He needs to be able to put up with a lot of shit to get that 30 mil. You understand what I'm saying? You don't own the league, you don't own the team, you are an independent contractor. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? I totally agree.
I don't really have much to say on it. I sort of grimaced because I had a conversation with a cousin and then one of my partners, and they sound almost exactly like you with it. So
I'm just saying, I mean, I know what he's feeling, you know, and I even can understand, you know, if there's some racial overtones there. I mean, that's no different than any other workplace, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But you can't. I wish that I could do the shit that he did.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter a lot, and there's a lot of tweets that's in my head, and I'm like, seriously, and it becomes, or a lot of those tweets had a racial undertone, like nigga, shut up, you know. Like,
but that's them though. I don't think that the organization would put out something like that. The general manager said, "Look, you either all in, you or you all out." That's a man shit. That's not even black and white. It's like, are you with it or you not?
That's cool.
This eight figures right here, we need you to be in. If you're not, get the fuck out. That's not black and white, dude.
I appreciate that.
You know what I'm saying?
That ain't even
black and white. He took it there and called dude a cracker. You know what I'm saying? The general manager is just like, look, either you in this bitch or you not.
Right.
That's some real man shit. That has nothing to do with race or anything.
Well,
you know.
I'll leave it there. But as we're talking about the NFL,
talking about your boy
Jay-Z, man, Roc Nation. So we talked about
this nigga's dropping down. I'd have said nigga month three, 4 times. About, this motherfucker's dropping down my list.
we brought him up a little bit on a past current events episode.
Man, I'm telling you, bro. What the hell is going on?
It's the whole, okay, well, let's wait and see what type of moves he's
going
to make.
I said I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I said that too,
but with a side eye. So what's currently happened was, like most nonprofit organizations, and especially the NFL, NBA, and other professional sports organizations, they donate money to different causes, which is great. I mean, that's what you should do out of those billions. So they earmarked $400,000 to be split between two organizations. One of the organizations that they chose was called the Crushers Club out of Chicago. Of course, South Side Chicago, the inner city, gangs, and what have you. And so this organization, I think it's been around for like two decades or so, and they really focus on getting kids off the street, out of gangs, into boxing and music, what have you. So that's great. Regardless of who runs it, in my opinion, that's great. If it's something that's constructive to help young black boys, that's great. I'm in a mentoring organization, so I get it. But what has happened is what has surfaced, and many people is out in the media, that one of the I think she's the director or one of the board members or what have you. Her name is Sally Hazelgrove or something. She has been seen making videos of cutting the locks out of some of the mentee's hair and making comments like, I'm giving him a better way of life. She's been also noted as being a part of or having political views that match that of Trump, as well as all lives matter type of rhetoric in a lot of what she says and believes, which typically is, you know, the anti-Black Lives Matter, if you will, type of notation. But so a lot of people have problems with, you know, the whole haircutting. We also talked about that before, Fresh, on, it was a wrestler who got his hair cut in the middle of the wrestling match. And it's other incidences where white men and women, you know, like the coaches or whatever, the authority figures would cut the hair as if they're helping them out. And as we know, hair is really very spiritual to Black people, but it's definitely important. You're talking about Black women. Locks plays a very historical and spiritual
love
part.
Love to see women in locks, though.
Yeah, locks is sexy. It's real cool. It's real earthy.
You can get your rent paid, man. You should come up with some. I'm just
is that what it is? Little side note by Fresh. Little side note, but people had some issues. Like, okay, Jay-Z, you just got your foot in the door. We already had some issues. We don't know. Are you going? What you going to do? Are you going to do something different for, you know, for the hood or for Black folks or for the movement, whatever? What are you in Roc Nation? What are you at the table talking to Roger Goodell about? You know, what are you going to do? And this is one of the first pieces that comes out about their support and their donations that were made to this organization with this type of leadership. And I think of some other pictures that surfaced in terms of, it's mainly white run organization as far as the board of directors or what have you. And it just gives you that sense. If you're really thinking Black empowerment, a lot of cases, when you see that the imagery of who's behind it and definitely what they're about, what their political perspectives are, and when they do some shit like cutting hair of the mentees, it's like, what you think about it? I mean, how do you receive that?
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, you know, I got a couple different feelings, man. It's like, you know, the Malcolm X himself said, you know, be aware or beware of the white liberal. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's one of the greatest enemies that we have, you know, the wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
I mean, it plays itself out time and time and time and time and time again. I know absolutely nothing about this Hazelgrove chick at all, so I can't really speak to her works or anything like that. However, it's not any different than the NAACP, most of the HBCUs. Okay. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the setup is similar to a lot of that. So
I guess it just,
I just feel like, man, whenever you're giving out money and it's six figure money, supposed to be charitable, I know it's just a write off to you, but you know, you should have people that are in positions that vet these things. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it would just help to do a little bit more vetting. And now, I mean, and looking at the Crushers Club, man, is actually, it looks like they're helping kids out through boxing.
Yeah, and there's some music in there too.
Yeah,
but yeah, boxing is one of their main. And I've seen where some of the boxing, even when I lived down in Greenville, they have a boxing program for boys too. So it, and not to disparage any of the workers from the Crushers Club, like I say, I did about as much, I know about as much about it as what I can read or some of the news that I've read. So I don't have a first-hand experience with that particular club. So not to really disparage them and what the work that they're doing, it's just how it looks from the top.
And yeah, I mean, because, you know, I'm looking on the website now and there's a picture that says the Warrior Women behind Crusher's Club. And it's black faces.
And to me, the imagery is like, it's like the whole Sally Struthers. You send me the money and I'll go feed these niggas. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's what it looked like.
The whole Africa, like it has UNICEF, not always gone that smoothly. And when you think of black empowerment, a lot of cases we want to see the hands of people. It doesn't mean that all black people are going to do exactly what they need to do. But I'll take my chances. If, you know, I'm a part of the 100 Black Men Organization, right, of America, for an example. And it really is all black. Hey, we don't have any scare. I've never seen any white, individuals like on the board of directors or not really nowhere. And so it's just that imagery is like, if you give into a Jewish organization, I bet you it's going to be Jewish. If I'm giving to a Chinese, you know, outfit, it's going to be Chinese run, right? Why are we the only ones to sort of compromise with our children's, you know, future like this?
Well, I mean,
why is it us?
The short answer is like, when, you know, when you don't have power, you haven't had power, you don't have money, you've never had money, you don't have influence, you've never had influence. You know, when you get into a particular situation where your situation is dire enough to where your approach has a tinge or it's laced with a hint of desperation.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, whenever you get to that particular point, you will sacrifice anything, including the livelihood of your children. You will sacrifice your dignity. You will sacrifice,
it's terrible,
a lot of different things, man, to be able to come up. You see what I'm saying? That's why we are still plagued by the notion or the idea that anything that's white is right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you get motherfuckers that go to these prestigious colleges or so-called prestigious colleges and so on and so forth, and they come out, they think that they're better than the circumstances in which they came from, and monetarily, you know, socioeconomically, they may be. But the placement in the world, they don't realize that it's the same. We don't have the attitude. It's like, okay, yeah, if the people I grew up with aren't as free as I am, then I'm really not as free as I think that I am. Yeah. You know, we don't look at that. So that's why we don't reach back ourselves, because this type of shit right here,
the shit right here,
it could easily be done with us. We got enough people that have money now. We have enough entertainers and athletes. You know, we've danced enough. We've run enough. We've sang enough. Yeah. We'd have made enough motherfuckers laugh to where we could do this shit ourselves. But we don't care enough. So it's kind of like, these are the consequences of that.
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying? Selfishness has consequences.
Yeah.
You know, so this sort of like to say elections have consequences, selfishness has consequences. You know, your delusional outlook on life when it comes to your position in society has consequences to the community in which you come from.
Definitely.
So like I said, because I got people in my phone right now that could run this foundation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That have the money to be able to do this, but they don't. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's not to shit on anybody's charitable work, but I don't know nobody that do this shit.
No, but the flip side is there. Well, that's part of the irony, is that there are dozens of organizations like this in Chicago, in Southside specifically, that are black run. That's where a lot of the feedback is too. It's like, well, damn,
why didn't you do this, or why didn't you do that?
Like, and of course, like we know, it's all about connections.
It's about connections. That's what I was about to say. It's about connections.
You know, probably can pick up the phone faster or know somebody because of, you know, their privilege in a lot of cases to where they can do that. So
where are we getting at on this? So it's, I guess is my whole thing is, I mean, I have opinions about it, you know, per se, but what's the answer? I mean, what are we saying? What are we saying? You know, from a podcast perspective, what are we telling motherfuckers out there?
That's a good question. I don't think there's necessarily a solution from it. It's more informative, but it does what it does to me. What it says is, when you are doing the work, and from my last comment about there are people out there that's doing the work, if you're doing the work and you're not getting, making the contacts, making the connections, you need to probably try your damnedest to make those type of connections. So when opportunities come, the NFL, this isn't the only opportunity where you can get money, but $200,000 is a lot of money to give a mentoring type of organization.
Mm-hmm.
But position yourself, be involved with things and connect it with people in other organizations that maybe where you can be, as we say with Jay-Z, somewhat at the table to, you know, be seen. Try to be seen and do your damnedest. And when it doesn't come, you continue to do the work, but you need to voice your opinion when you can on, hey, you know, why not me? Because it's a lot. I'm just saying, there's a lot that's out there. Brothers are really doing some things where they need to be getting some of those benefits, some of those tangibles. But that's just me. I could be wrong, right? In the name of the show.
Yeah, I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Well.
But.
You know, it is what it is, man. It's like, you know, there's always some crooked shit going. Wherever there's money, man, like I said, follow the motherfucking money.
And honestly, I'm not personally mad at Jay-Z. You know why? Because I don't really have the expectations from him to begin with. Once you put your faith and expectations in these millionaires and billionaires who, you know, who are black, who aren't really doing what we feel like they should be doing. You know, they haven't proven to us that they collectively have done something earth shaking, right? They haven't moved the needle like it should be moved. There's no paradigm shift in a lot of stuff through education, through economic development, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't expect Jay-Z to really come in and do the shit. And this is just a testament that, okay, you're going to start off like this, where you really need to have the voice to do something. I think this can be done better.
Okay. All right, brother. Let's go ahead and move on off that shit, man. Let's move to, I actually want to add a topic to this, man. Before we talk about Death Row, because to me, that shit's just funny, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I want to talk about Dave Chappelle, man.
Oh yeah.
Let's talk about this special, man, because I've seen so much shit that you know, and it really just, I mean, I started thinking about a lot of stuff that comedians have said about our level of sensitivity now. It's absolutely fucking crazy at this particular point. The funny thing about it was, I think people missed the whole point of the special. You know, because you got people saying, oh, you shouldn't have said this about pedophilia. You shouldn't have said this about that. I'm like, okay, you know, comedians come in all flavors, man. Sometimes you don't like the taste.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, so I get that. If you don't like it, you just don't like it. But,
right.
But, you know, to go to some lengths that some of these motherfuckers I've seen on social media go to, this is real bitch-like to me, man. I mean, I'm thinking, like, we need to toughen up to a point. Because that whole special, there was nothing random about the shit that he said.
Nothing.
It was totally calculated from the point that he talked about.
Very methodic.
The guy committing suicide at the beginning of the show to where he did the impression. You know, he's like, this is you motherfuckers. You're the hardest motherfuckers to entertain. You know what I'm saying? That was intentional. Because he set it up saying that I know what I'm about to say is going to have you motherfuckers in a tizzy.
Yeah.
So the funny thing, the L, the G's, and the T's,
people.
I mean, man, that shit was funny as shit.
The G's, the G's, and the T's.
That shit was funny as shit.
Nigga, that shit was funny and very witty.
And the funny thing about this, man, it's like, you know, I know a few people of, you know, different sexual orientations, man. And
yeah,
they absolutely fucking loved it.
And they loved it, yeah.
You know, and it's like, at least somebody has an understanding, or is trying to have an understanding of what you're actually going through. But if you want to be, everybody wants to talk about inclusion and shit.
Yeah.
Inclusion includes getting jokes cracked about your ass. That's, I mean, this is part of it. This validates your existence more than it does disparage it. You know, if you really want to put your thinking cap on, you know, because the easiest thing would be to just ignore the fuck out of you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And just be like, you know, whatever. Rights? Fuck. Fucking rights? Fuck them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, the fact that it's acknowledged, the fact that the power of their movement to speak and to affect things has been acknowledged, that's just a win.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers got their panties in their ass for the wrong reason, dog. They got this shit in their pants for the wrong fucking reasons. Well, it's like there's a lot of shit that he probably could have pulled back on, but that's not what comedians do. That's not what great comedians do. I'm just like, man, y'all really need to chill.
I totally agree. And I mean, you hit it on a point when you said that's what
you know. My phone gonna blow up, right?
Hey, that's what great comedians do. You're right. And no, don't no holds barred. It's like you don't hold anything back. But he does it in such a way that's just so witty and simple. And it just makes, he's similar to Chris Rock to me, where he makes you think after the fact or just right after the punchline. For those who don't know or haven't seen it, it's on Netflix. It's called Sticks and Stones. I think it's Chappelle's greatest work. Just to what you're saying. And I actually like the piece that he was talking about, drugs, the difference in the black drug epidemic versus the white with the opioids and stuff. Right. He said, hey, just say no. What's so hard about that? I mean, it was intentional.
It was very, very intentional.
And you know, he got a 33% rating on Dirty Rot. What is it?
Rotten Tomatoes.
Rotten Tomatoes. And a 99% approval from the people, from the fan. So like when you like the movie on Netflix, and maybe some other polls, but I think mainly if you like it on Netflix, he got a 99% approval from the people, but 33%. So that lets you know that's a hell of a gap from the critics to the actual people.
Yeah, I mean, but because, you know, most of the critics in Hollywood are gay anyway. So, right, I mean, there's a strong gay contingent.
It's like you're going
in Hollywood and entertainment and in journalism as a whole at this particular point,
right?
Which is fine. I mean, you know, I mean, it's like you have to know where that spin is coming from. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And most of the time, you know, if you're not, because the only problem I got with the so-called gay agenda is this, man. It's like, especially from black folks, just because your ass is gay does not mean you're not black. You know what I'm saying? You need to talk about black rights first, then you can get me to talk about gay rights a little bit more. When you try to make this shit mutually exclusive, you're playing yourself. You're really just playing yourself. And it looks unintelligent to me and disingenuous. So, you know, that's how it is. It's like, you know, I support anybody living their life the way the fuck they want to live. It has nothing to do with me. You know, who you are involved with in an interpersonal relationship, who you build your life with. None of that shit is my fucking business. Not my business at all.
It could be.
I ain't even going there. It's not.
I'm talking about with the children.
Well, I'm just saying that shit's not my business either. That's just not my business. You know, how you choose to build your life, if you decide you want to raise children, any of that shit is not my fucking business.
But if you put that into the school books, that's not your business. If your child is,
that's not my business, bro. It's like this. If you want to be gay, that's not something that I can say I am for or I am against, because I am not. So I don't know how that shit feels. You understand what I'm saying? You know, just because somebody is gay does not mean that they do not have the right to build a life, to raise children, or any of that is what I'm saying.
I'm saying if, let's say all of a sudden the 50% of the curriculum in your school system that your child is learning has gay undertones.
That's some real crazy sounding shit though, bro.
No, that's happening. Even in North Carolina is what I'm saying. That stuff is actually happening. So what I'm saying is
I teach my daughter at home. She knows more about that before she hits the street.
That's because you are an attentive father.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the other.
I ain't got nothing to do with the motherfuckers with you. I don't have anything to do with that.
We need an episode now.
I mean, my daughter has 7 years left in the school system. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, what these other people are doing with their kids and shit, but I can't worry about that shit.
Yeah, but they spend 6 to 8 hours in front of a teacher listening to, you know, being taught certain things.
Yeah, but I mean, to think the kids are going to school and they're getting taught a gay agenda is some asinine shit though, bro.
What?
That is some crazy shit. You have to pull the proof out of it. We'll touch on that
because that is an agenda. Okay. That is one of the agendas.
We'll see. We'll have to talk about that.
Stuff in.
You come in with the proof of that, and then we'll talk about that.
Okay.
But anyway, man, let's talk about the last thing, which is we're gonna talk about, man.
Hasbro.
Yeah, Hasbro buying Death Row, man. It's just funny, man. It's like funny.
G.I. Joe and Suge Knight together, you know.
Right. So
it's Potato Head and Tupac.
They're gonna change Monopoly now instead of Boardwalk and Park Place, it's gonna be Slauson and Crenshaw. Yeah.
You know? But you won't have any get out of jail free.
Either. Now you're gonna have three strikes.
Yeah.
Instead of landing on the electric company and utility.
You don't get to get out after three rolls.
Right. You have three strikes and you out in that motherfucker.
But Hasbro, man, I read a little bit. They are a conglomerate. I mean, they're the largest toy company in terms of stock price. I think they're second or third largest in terms of revenues, but they've been trying to acquire stuff for years. They attempted to acquire DreamWorks. And who else? It was Lionsgate. They tried it. So they've had their hand in the entertainment pot for a while. Yeah,
that's the reason why this particular deal came about, because they were trying to acquire some entertainment company that had some shows that they wanted. They wanted the rights to certain shows. I can't remember some kid shows that they wanted, but
and they have like Romper Room. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They own that. Of course, they bought Milton Bradley, Parker Brothers. Mm-hmm. So I mean, they whatever they doing. I mean, that's but they acquired Entertainment
playing real life Monopoly in this, right, which is what they do.
Entertainment One bought Death Row in 2013,
right,
for like $280 million or whatever, and
which is still crazy to me, man. That, just think about
that. That's cheap.
What I'm saying though, that's still a third of $1 billion, bro. To think that catalog is worth that much,
and
nobody is getting, who's getting paid off of that shit.
Yeah,
think about that.
You're
shit.
Right. You're
think
right.
about everything that's up under Death Row. Nigga, the Chronic is on Death Row. Doggy Style is on Death Row. All Eyes on Me is on Death Row.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? The Dog Pound.
Even Hammer was on there, I think, for a short time.
Yeah. So, I mean, you think about the catalog, man. I mean, that shit is crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, man. Black folks getting zipped out of money once again.
That's crazy.
That's what it is.
But, I don't know what to say about that one, but
I think this shit was kind of funny, man. It was a good little tidbit, man. We're going to spend a lot of time on that shit, man. But I tell you what I do want to say, man. In addition to Apple Podcasts, the podcast is now available on Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and CastBox, along with Podbean and Urban Beats Radio 2. With more outlets to come in the future. You can also connect with us on the social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at ICBW Podcast. That's at ICBW Podcast. Be sure to like, comment, follow, subscribe, and all that. You can also check us out on our website at icbwpodcast.com. And be on the lookout for some more stuff dropping in the merchandise store, man. I think we're going to start putting out some coffee mugs and stuff, too, man.
Okay. Little Morning Joe.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Podcast Joe. Exactly. We're going to do some things, man. We're going to keep it going, man. And give people stuff that's going to be useful. Because, you know, you remember we were giving out the stuff before. And I said, I will not give you shit that you cannot use.
Yep.
I am not going to sell shit that you cannot use.
Okay.
So that's what it is, man. We appreciate your support in advance, man. Be on the lookout, though. You know, we'll tweet it out, Instagram it out, Facebook it out, man. We got new stuff dropping, man. So that's what it is.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. And you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. And you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you.
It's fresh and reds, their curators are cool. The culture and consciousness brought directly to you. Tune in every week for the newest of new and occasional politics as it pertains to you. Divergent point of views make for a whole picture, and we suggest you get your money up and take the shit with you. Ain't no fountain to you, but it's a secret elixir to ensure the black man as a permanent fixture. Standing here in America behind enemy lines, where more often than not my skin's considered a crime. Cops kill us daily and will never do time, while a crooked ass judge decides to fate for mine. One day at a time is what my mama would say, and since mama said living ain't no time to play, and since I got a little game, I'ma give it away. But let's start the show before I get carried away. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect, make sure that you come correct, and you should probably hurry, it gets crowded.
Bring a friend with you.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect, make sure that you come correct, and you should hurry up, it might get crowded.
Bring a friend with you.
You just tuned in to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, hosted by Fresh and Reg. Holla back next week.